To say thanks to all of you for generously supporting the Great Commission Fund. That's how we remain on the field. That's how we are supported through the ministry of the Great Commission Fund. People give their faith promises to the Great Commission Fund, and out of that fund we are supported. So thank you. On behalf of myself and my wife, thank you for giving to the Great Commission Fund. It supports us very well, and we are so grateful for it. Our whole team thanks you, and all the 800 and some other missionaries around the world thank you. But as we travel, some people are saying, well, I don't give to a fund. Well, listen, I'm not a fund. I'm a person. We're a person. We're the people of the fund. The fund is people, 800 and some of us around the world. So when you give your pledge or your gifts to mission in the Great Commission Fund, it's going to people. It's going to me and Mike and others around the world. And if it'll help you any, when you get out your check to make it out, maybe you turn it over and you draw a picture of me on the back. You can make it bald with a few sprigs of hair and a big nose, but it'll help you to understand that when you give money to the Great Commission Fund, you're giving money to people that serve around the world, and we are grateful for that. So bless you. May the Lord's blessing rest upon you. It's a privilege to be with you this morning, and I've entitled my message, Back to the Future. I want to do three things. Sometimes it's hard to get focus and understand the future and all of that without us going back. So this morning I want to take us way, way back. And then show what's happening, our journey through the Philippines, and then up to what we're doing in Mongolia and what lies ahead. So this morning, we're going back to the future. It's hard to get the big picture sometimes. It reminds me of a class of middle schoolers, maybe fourth, fifth, sixth graders. They were planning to go on a great trip to the Grand Canyon. And so they planned for a long time. They prepared for it, and the day came. They traveled to the Grand Canyon. They spent their first day looking at all this awesome, awesome real estate that laid out before them. At the end of the day, their instructors and teachers said to them, now, you have to write a postcard home to your parents. So they all sat down and wrote postcard home. Only this one little fella, he wrote a postcard home, and he wrote on it five words. Dear Mom and Dad, today I spit a mile. Yeah, he did. You know, it's a mile down. He honkered up a great big luger and leaned over the edge and spit it and watched it going down. You see, he didn't get it. He didn't get the big picture. Sometimes we don't get the big picture. But in order for us to have focus, in order for us to be in line with God's heart and word, we need to get the big picture. Actually, the big picture includes the story of the Bible. That's the big picture. Do you know the story of the Bible? I used to study my Bible, I think, incorrectly. I used to like search for the key verse and then try and use that verse to figure out the whole book that I was studying. When in reality, this book is one wonderful book. It's like all other good books. It has an introduction, it has a body, and it has a conclusion. The introduction covers the first 11 chapters of Genesis, from Genesis 1, the creation, and how God created man, and then man fell, and then man wanted to be like God, and God scrambled their languages. And then it concludes with that wonderful, wonderful crescendo in the Revelation. The last book of the Bible is the conclusion. As Pastor read us that verse, that wonderful book of worship is the conclusion of the great story of the Bible. But in the beginning of the body, we turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we read these words. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. What do we have here? God is saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to use you. Why? Just so you can have all the blessing? Just so you can have a great name? No. So that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So here we have it. Here we have it. Blessing. I'm going to bless you. Blessing. And then responsibility. And you know what? Almost in every book in the Bible, almost in every story as you work your way through the scriptures, you have this same theme. Blessing and responsibility. Blessing and responsibility. Top line blessing, bottom line responsibility. It's like two railroad tracks going all the ways through scripture, becoming one as it goes through scripture. Stories and principles and everything in this wonderful book talk about blessing and responsibility. Blessing and responsibility. Blessing and responsibility through the whole book like railroad tracks. That's the story of the Bible. God's blessing and his heart for the nations through the wonderful Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, making provision for the forgiveness of our sins. So God's heart for the nations is the story of the Bible. Blessing, responsibility. Are you blessed? Is America blessed? Boy, when we just come from Mongolia back into America, it's incredible, incredible, the blessing of God on America. Incredible blessing on the churches in America. With blessing comes what? Responsibility. And so it's wonderful to see God's wonderful word unfolding for us through the Abrahamic covenant, beginning in Genesis chapter 12. It's restated again in the Great Commission. You know, Jesus, he didn't just think that up on his own. He didn't say, now, by the way, disciples and church, I just got another idea before I go. I want to share it with you. No, he restated what was in the heart of God, taking the gospel to the nations. And he sent us this little letter. Dear Christians, this is my commission to you. In fact, you might even call it a great commission. You're to go into all people everywhere and call them to become my disciples. You are to baptize them and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. Don't forget, I will be with you always to help you, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you because I love you. Please don't forget me. With all of my love, Jesus Christ. Right out of the Great Commission. Jesus restates that. So that's what we're all about. That's what we do when we go to another country. We make disciples. What are disciples? Well, disciples are worshipers. Disciples are growing in their understanding of the Word of God and growing in their what it means to follow Him and be a follower of Jesus. Disciples are learning to be mighty in prayer. Disciples are ones who are learning to serve. Disciples are those who bear witness and share the good news that they have heard. Where they live, as it says in Acts 1:8, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and out to the remotest parts of the earth. That's where I live. We live on the remotest parts of the earth. It's the last stop on earth. Things only come in there. They don't go on. They go in and they come out. That's where we are, the remotest parts of the earth. Well, how are we doing? I'd like us to take a look at the world and see what's happening. The Christian Missionary Alliance is the story of taking the gospel to the nations, and we want to do that. And so we keep asking the question, how are we doing? How well is the light shining? Where is the light shining? And so let's take a look at the map of the world that's showing the lights of the world and where it is. shines. When you look at the map, you notice that it's shining pretty brightly in North America, South America, Central and Southern Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, Korea, parts of Indonesia. But you will notice also some of the black holes. And some of those places are in North Africa, Middle East, Central Asia, and India, in what we call the 1040 window. And if you don't understand the 1040 window, in that room out there, there's a map plastered on each side of the wall showing the 1040 window. And our mission is to establish church planting movements in the unreached and darkest places of the earth where the odds are stacked against us. That's our mission, to establish churches in those places around the world where the odds are stacked against us. You know what? All the easy places in the world are now finished. Now it's all the tough places. It's all the hard ones. All the ones that are going to be tough to get into. We're now moving from friendly and open countries to countries that have resistant people and are closed. And so it's going to be difficult as we move forward, and that's why we need the support of God's people. Well, what are our global objectives? What are our objectives that we're working hard on? Objective one is to position resources strategically. That's why in 1999, when I became field director of the Philippine field, we started laying in place a plan to transition out of that country. Do you know that in the Philippines today, there are over 3,000 churches? The year I was born, there were 85. But this time, there are over 3,000. Now the daughter's bigger than the mother. The daughter in the Philippines is bigger than the mother because God has been faithful with us working there. They have 8 Bible schools, a first-class seminary. They have 20 or 30 or 40 people educated at PhD level to help lead their church. And so in the year 2004, I got called into the office, and the national president said, "I want you to meet with the board of trustees because we don't like what you're doing. We don't like it that you're leaving. Why are you leaving? The work's not done here. Why are you leaving?" And so I listened to them. The work isn't done. I had to grant them that. And the work won't be done until Jesus comes. But it's like the difference between the work of the mission and the work of the church. It's like the mission is the scaffolding. And when the main part of the building's up, the scaffolding can be taken down. And so I told him there's a difference between the work of mission and the work of church. And I said, and furthermore, how many of you can even count up all the help you've had for the last 105 years in terms of funding, in terms of personnel, in terms of lives and people committed to serving there? How many of you can even count that all up? And they sat there in silence. They sat there silently. And then I said to them, why don't you come with us when we go to some of these new places, because I was already being assigned to leave for Mongolia. Why don't you come with us to these new places? And then one of them said, okay then, what we're going to do, we're going to commission you as our missionary to Mongolia. I said, no, you're not. I'm not from here. The people in America pray for me. The people in America support me. The people in America give so that we're able to work. You're not going to claim me as your missionary. You cannot do it. Well, you know what? This past July, 5 years after I planted the seed in their hearts and minds, we received our first missionary couple from the Philippines, landed in Mongolia to join our team. Rochelle and Melody Marat arrived in Mongolia this summer in July to join our team. They're now in language study, and they're joining our team of 28 staff people from 6 different nationalities. We're thrilled to have them. They're a very, very talented young couple. And we're thrilled to have them. Isn't that something worth praising God for? That the churches around the world that we have planted got the DNA right, and they're now a missionary sending church. Dr. Ralph Winner, one of the preeminent scholars of today, a missionary statesman, said, one of today's scholars says of us that you have to go way back to the time of Count Zinzendorf and the early Moravians to find an organization like the CNMA that are planting missionary churches around the world. What an incredible compliment. We're starting to get it right. Those churches that we worked in around the world, they are now stepping up to the plate and saying, what's our responsibility? What can we do? And they're now sending out missionaries. The church in the Philippines sent over 60 missionaries already. And I think you heard from Mike about all the missionary candidates in Ecuador that are getting ready to go to those darkest places in the world. So praise God for the incredible compliment and for the working out of the reality of being a missionary church planting movement. We want to transition out of countries like the Philippines, Gabon, Ecuador, Chile, and Brazil. Lost people matter to God, and He wants them found. We want to enter new areas. And this past month, some of our leaders just returned from a trip into Central Asia, into Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, and some of those other countries to see if indeed it might be suitable for us to place some new teams there. And so the goal is in the next 4 years, with the provision of finances, that we'll send two new teams into Central Asia, one new team into North Africa, and one new team into India for the glory of God. So we're standing and posturing to be pushing into the darkness. And that's what we're trying to do. Objective number two in CNMA goals is to identify multipliers and prepare national leaders. This is very, very important. And this is the reason why we're able to leave some of those countries now, because we're learning how to do this. This is absolutely critical in Mongolia. The gospel came there when the Russians left in 1990. There were only 4 known Christians in 1990. Today, the number is around somewhere around 25,000. And the gospel spread far and wide, and they say it's 10 miles wide but only an inch deep. And so the most critical need we have right now is to train leaders and disciple them. And so we have a training program. We launched the 1st of September to begin training workers for national church leadership. We also need to have people that are going to be mentored, and we spend a lot of time and take seriously mentoring young men and women. And we want to mentor them and encourage them. We also want to understand their situation. They're all first-generation Christians in Mongolia. There are no people there that have walked with God all their life that others can look up to and see people that have walked in faith. They're all first-generation. And sometimes we've had a lot of failures. That's why we're committed as a team to be mentoring and teaching and helping these young men to follow the Lord. Of the 8 churches we have planted in Mongolia to date, 7 of them are led by women. Nothing against the ladies, but we're trusting God for men. I think too many of the men said, "Here am I, Lord, send my sister." We just don't have them. We need men. Would you pray that God would help us to train men, and we would have men that would be willing to take up leadership like Dawa, the one we heard about in the film. He's the only male pastor that we have. Praise God for him. And we also want to invest in upper-level leadership. You know, the government does that very well. They spend millions of dollars investing in people. And the military does that too. I know, I spent 4 years there. But somehow, sometimes in the church, we're a little bit slow. We need to be investing in people. And so we praise God for the opportunity of helping a Mongolian leader. And so we've sent a young lady, not to America to study, but to the Philippines. And she's going to be finished this November with her Master of Divinity degree in Educational Leadership. And she'll be our first Mongolian teacher to come back and help us teaching. So we're making a little bit of progress. The Lord is helping us to move ahead little by little. Objective number three. We want to move away from North American dominance to multinational partnering. As I told you, our team of 28 has 6 nationalities on our team. And it's a wonderful example to the Mongolians that Christianity is not a Western thing. It's from all over the world. It's Korean, it's South African, it's Australian, it's Vietnamese. It's all of these things. And so pray for us that God would help us as we mentor these people and as we train upper-level leadership that the church is ultimately going to need. And we praise the Lord for that first Filipino couple that arrived on our team. The beginning of multinational partnering and working with our Alliance World Fellowship, sending churches around the world to do mission work together, because that's God's will and His plan. Objective number 4, we want to move from unreached people groups to unengaged unreached people groups. What do I mean by that? Well, there are some 1,200 unreached people groups, and over the past 8 or 9 years, there's been an emphasis to move into these unreached groups around the world. And some of them have workers. About half of them have people engaging them now. But there's about 639 more of them that have no workers. And so our emphasis is to move to those unreached ones. The unreached ones, the unengaged ones, the ones who have no scriptures, no church, no worker, no believers, no access to the gospel. And that's our focus. We are posturing on our field to look at those places. Our fields are being encouraged to press into the darkness. And so that's what we are trying to do. Find some of those unengaged, unreached people groups and begin moving there. And so beginning this next summer, we're sending 2 couples on our team. Jeremy, the one who you saw in the clip, and another community development guy are going to be sent to Western Mongolia to begin work among the Kazakh people. And so the Kazakhs have little or no access to the gospel, and they have no Christians. The ones that were there were run out of town. They almost have even an underground KGB. If anything's Christian, they'll find out about it, and out of town they go. So our approach is going to have to be pretty much under the radar and low-key, doing development work and ministering to the needs of people. And so you see the mosque and the Kazakh gers that the Kazakhs live in, and also the 3 generation of Kazakh people there. This is our target. On our field, we're encouraged to think where the church isn't now and start moving there. Start moving to those places where we are not. That's what we're doing around the world. And so I ask you today this. Do you know the letters IIWIA? IIWIA, you know it's texting. I came here back here. Everyone's texting. Do you know the texting language? Do you know LOL? LOL, what does that mean? Laugh out loud. Well, here's one for you. IIWIA, you know that one? Do you know what it means? Is it worth it all? Is it worth it all? Is it worth your time in prayer to pray for these new pressing into the darkness initiatives? Is it worth your time and effort to give sacrificially when our organization is making incredible moves to pressing into the unengaged, unreached people groups of the world, into Central Asia, North Africa, and India? Are these CNMA ministries worthy of your financial support to the church through the Great Commission Fund? In closing, let me just give two stories that illustrates what's really happening in Mongolia. The first story is the story of Oyuna, the one on this side of the screen. Oyuna was a government official that was giving us incredible amounts of misery. We needed stamps. We needed permission. We needed all kinds of things, and we just were not getting anywhere. So many of on our team began building relationships with Oyuna and trying to befriend her and do things with her to befriend her in hopes that someday we would be able to work with her instead of being spurned aside every time. Well, they were doing that, and then all of a sudden my Korean colleagues came to me one day and they said, "You know, Oyuna wants to go to Korea, and she wants us to take her to Korea." And they came to me as the field director and said, "Would it be all right if we took Oyuna to Korea?" Well, when you're a field director and they come and they start asking these kind of things, that's sort of not the kind of things we do. We don't do those things. And so I'm struggling. You know, I know we wanted to build a relationship with her, and I'm struggling, should I let them do it or should I not let them do it? It was hard. And finally, I think in a moment of weakness, I said, "Yes, go ahead, do it." So they took her to Korea, and they were there on Sunday. And they took her to a church on Sunday that was one of the largest churches in the world. Here she is, downtown Seoul, Korea, in one of the largest Christian churches in the world. And she saw thousands and thousands of people worshiping God, doctors and businessmen and lawyers and professional people all dressed up in their suits and going to church and raising their hands, praising God. And she was just blown right out of her socks. Wow, I thought Christianity was only for the poor people, the opium for the poor. This is awesome. And then they took her downstairs in the church, because while that service was going on, there was another one downstairs going on, only this one was Mongolians, all of them Mongolians. They came to work in Korea. And so now she could hear everything they were singing. She could hear them praising God. She could hear the message. She heard everything. And it impacted her life. And then came time to come home. And on the way home, they talked to her about what she had experienced. And they said, "Would you like to invite Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And she said, "Yes." So on the plane home from Seoul to Ulaanbaatar, she received Christ as her Savior. Praise God. Well, that's not the end of the story. She was traveling with our Korean couple one time, and they were about 5 hours out, and they were traveling along the highway, and Peter said to his wife, "You see that village over there? We should plant a church there." So he told his wife, "Get the camera out, take a picture of this village, and while we go on furlough, we'll ask people to pray about this village that we're going to plant a church in." She no longer put the camera under the seat in the case, and the car hit a post on bad roads. It went airborne. It rolled over, they don't know how many times, ended down in the ravine. There were eight in the car. And the car that had been there 3 months before, all were killed in the car. There they are, down there in that car, and it snapped the window out, crushed the top down, but they were all able, one by one, to walk out of the car without a scratch. And the town people, as soon as they heard all this incredible noise, They knew someone's dead again. They're all rushing out, gathering around the ravine. And the first question they ask, how many are dead? And Ayuna hops up and she said, Jesus protected us. Jesus saved us. These are Jesus people and God is with them. And he wants to bless you through them. And so she called the mayor. She called the chief of police. They all came. She ordered them to get a truck to haul the car away. She ordered food to be brought to them. And they were introduced to the police chief and the mayor and all the town people. And Peter made a commitment. He said, at the end of my furlough, we're going to come back and plant a church there. And so at the end of Peter and Esther's furlough, they came back and they surveyed the whole town. And they shared Christ with whoever would listen. And today, in Jargalung, there is a church where this bad accident happened that Satan wanted to snuff them out. God used to plant another church. And Ayuna is sharing Christ with her family. She shared Christ with all her brothers and sisters. She has now another sister down on the Mongolian-China border, and she's gathering and sharing her faith there, and there's a little community of faith down there next to the Mongolian-China border. The light is starting to shine through people coming to know the Lord. Not only that, this slide of this church, here's the first church, just started. One of our newest churches started on Good Friday, April 10th, 1999. Dr. Pham, who's on the top there, he shares Christ. He prays for all of his patients, and he shares Christ with all who will listen. And we found out that these people, you know, we'd invite them to church, but they wouldn't come. So he started thinking, okay, they won't come to church, so I'll go to them. So what he does, he gathers them in a community, in their community, and so they have now a GARE church. In their homes, that's where they meet. And so I was privileged to be with them on this first service gathering on Good Friday. First time to receive communion. First time to hear about the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. First time to know what it's like to be part of a community of faith. First time to start praying and worshiping God together. Here's one of our brand newest church planters, church plants. We have about three or four more that are in progress. Well, people are coming to know the Lord, and churches are being planted. The darkness is starting to fade. In Isaiah, we read in chapter 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." IIWIA, is it worth it all? Yes, 1,000 times yes. God is at work and it's worth it all. May God's blessing rest upon the church that God's calling to do his work. Will you stand with me to pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being part of an organization that's trying to stay in tune with God's heart, taking the gospel to the nations, planting churches where there are none, building disciples, training leaders. And so I praise you for the opportunity to be part of that. And I thank you for these people here in Boone, North Carolina, and for their part in being partners of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray that you'll continue to use them as a global impact church. I pray that today you will tug at their hearts and encourage them to take the next step that you're leading them through in being world Christians and being global impact church for your honor and glory. Thank you for the privilege of working together and for the great blessing of being in tune with you. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, amen.